Funding for Think comes from SMU's Continuing and Professional Education.
You're listening to an archive edition of Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Why is so much bad spelling, punctuation, and syntax posted in public places, and why do only some of us care? Impressed by his classmates' accomplishments by the time of their five-year college reunion, Jeff Deck realized the time had come for him to use his superhuman gifts to make a change in the world. And it turns out that what he is freakishly good at is ferreting out typographical mistakes. Soon he recruited former roommate and fellow writer Benjamin D. Herson, and these two capeless crusaders, with office supplies in their utility belts, set out on a cross-country trek to fix subject-verb agreement, put apostrophes in their rightful place, and strike out superfluous double letters with a single swipe of whiteout. In the process, our heroes met thousands of people, changed hundreds of signs, and broke at least one federal law, and found themselves branded vigilantes in the media. Jeff and Benjamin have just published an account of their adventures in the new book, The Great Typo Hunt, Two Friends Changing the World, One Correction at a Time. Guys, welcome to Think.
Hello there, Chris. Thanks for having us on the program.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So why do some people, you guys included, really care about this, whereas other people, even if they notice a mistake, it doesn't bother them?
Well, I mean, for me, as you said, it really came out of a desire to make some sort of difference in the world and using what talents I actually have to do so. And so typos were a natural medium for me of trying to make the world a better place. And I realized as I was going along that typos really are a problem for a couple different reasons. I mean, not only do they cloud communication and slow the reader down, but they can really just give the wrong impression of, let's say, a business before you even walk in the front door. It can say something, whether it's fair or not, about that person's attention to detail and care.
Mm-hmm. And did you guys always realize that this was something you were good at?
I've always had a knack for noticing typos pretty much all my literate life, and I'm not really sure where it came from. I mean, my parents have both been you know, pretty detail oriented folks, and so I probably inherited it from them. But
I was pretty late to the game myself. I didn't have any particular interest in typos until Jeff dragged me along on this crazy road trip of his.
Yeah, Benjamin, tell us about what was your state of mind when he said, "Here's my great idea."
Yeah, well, he said, "I'm going on a road trip," and I said, "Hey, that sounds like fun." And he said, you know, sort of under his breath, to correct typos in public signage. And I said, "Hey, a road trip sounds like so much fun. I'm there." So I sort of didn't process that additional element at all until we were actually correcting the typos. But fortunately, the first time we walked into a cafe together on this road trip, we found typos simultaneously, and I guess I was destined to be the perfect sidekick.
Was it ever like a competition to see who could spot something first?
You know, we really wanted to be a team and to work together, and certainly we had, you know, a little friendly competition going, and you know, Benjamin's a very numbers-oriented guy in particular, and so, you know, if he was falling behind on the count for the day, then he'd definitely let me know and, you know, make an extra effort. But we did sort of make a numbers game out of it and kept a tally as we were going along of the number of typos we had found in total on the trip to that point and the number of those that we were able to actually correct.
Yeah, that was a very generous response. Thank you, Jeff. it wasn't a competition most of the time because he was kicking my butt, but every time I'd find one first, I'd be like, "Yes, I did it!" So other than that, though, yeah, not a competition.
Did you make any kind of exception for people who deliberately spell things wrong, like quick? This is my number one pet peeve, quick with a K and a W.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't go around the country like adding in a UGH to every Dunkin' Donuts, you know.
Or changing the K's in Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, I mean, we allow people their creative license when it comes to the name of their establishments or the name of their products. I mean, that's a latitude that people should have. There's plenty of other stuff to go after that are actual typos.
So what kinds of rules did you set out for yourselves as you were going to document these and try to make a change?
Well, one of the first rules was that we really wanted to focus just on errors that were being made by native speakers of English. So we made every effort possible to avoid signage that had been created by people speaking English as their second language, because I mean, again, there's enough material to work with that native speakers are making. And we were also really just diving into neighborhoods just wherever we went that weren't really premeditated. We would just pop into a given town or city and just see what we could find.
Yeah, at the time of the original hunt, we didn't have hard and fast rules, but some of the general principles we formalized into five rules. And one of the main things that was important to us was to always go after the errors themselves and not blame people. And that became rule number three, which is don't be a jerk.
Which is a good life rule in general.
Maybe number one should be don't be a jerk, but I know what you're saying. Yeah, you're not out to shame people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I mean, we wanted to be as courteous and as deferential as possible when having these conversations with people about the typos in their midst, and really emphasize that we were just going after the typos themselves, and you know, just not trying to make anyone feel bad or pass judgment on them, because I think that's where a lot of discussion about spelling and grammar goes wrong in the first place, is that it's used as sort of an occasion to shame people or to, you know, mock people. And We were really focused on wiping out the errors themselves and making the world a better place for spelling and grammar.
Yeah, we've even been accused of being somewhat elitist, and I think that's a holdover from those people who used their superior knowledge in grammar to sort of lord over people, to give the impression that it is the realm of the elite. But language is something we all use, and with the right education early on, I think everyone can have good spelling and grammar.
You know, it's one thing to see like a hand-posted sign someplace and suggest to somebody they change it. I always feel sorry for businesses that have spent $3,000 on something that they probably proofed themselves, and they can't afford to buy a new sign. Did you ever hesitate to point out that someone had something permanent wrong?
Yeah, I mean, there were some signs along the way that obviously they had put a lot of money into to make it look just right and to give a good impression of the business, but that impression is spoiled by a typo. And that's the problem, is that in the long run, that might actually be costing the business more money than the initial investment in let's say, repairing the sign. Is that if they have a big sign out front that, let's say, as we saw in Chicago, where it said Milwaukee Furniture outside the store.
That's a bad one.
And the U and the A were switched around, and this big sign that was about 3 feet high and about, you know, 6 feet off the ground, it probably costs them a good amount to actually make that sign, and would cost a good amount to repair it. But that's misspelling the name of your store and basically giving a bad impression on a very basic level.
Would you not shop in a store, either one of you, if Milwaukee were spelled wrong or there was an extra apostrophe somewhere?
You know, I think that depends on where it is and what it is that's misspelled. I think in a grocery store where there's just a lot of spelling mistakes, we saw something in Colorado groceries where they changed the Y to an IES to make the plural, but they plunked in an apostrophe, IE apostrophe S. I get worried about people's attention to detail. So there's no particular instance that I can think of where we didn't actually shop somewhere because of a typo, but it certainly can lead you to question things.
What is it with apostrophes? It seems like this is something that everybody's supposed to learn in second grade and maybe through eighth grade, and you know, a certain percentage of people just never quite know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's really the most common error that we found during our journey was going wrong with the apostrophes, because there's a couple different ways that you can go wrong with those. And the most common manifestation of that we found was throwing in an apostrophe into plural words that obviously just do not need them, like writing restrooms, like a sign we saw in Idaho that was restroom apostrophe S, when they were just talking about more than one restroom. And almost as common were apostrophes that were left out of words that actually needed them, like some possessive words or contractions like let's, which we've seen in a couple different instances, just being rendered as L-E-T-S instead of L-E-T apostrophe S.
And I think there's a few different factors to why things go wrong with apostrophes. One of them is the viral, contagious use of the wrong apostrophe, where people don't have enough confidence, apostrophic confidence, if you will, in how to use the apostrophe. So they see those plural apostrophes and they start using them. Another thing is with its and its. This is one that gets people all the time.
That one is, I'll admit,
that's,
I know the rule, but I can see where people get
it. Yes, exactly, because we're taught that possessives need apostrophes. But in this case, it's it is that gets the apostrophe, and possessive pronouns are the exception to possessives getting apostrophes.
Doesn't context always tell us what the writer really means?
It can, but at the same time, it's if there is something that's wrong in a sentence, then it's going to slow down the reader. The reader will probably be able to figure it out from things like context, but it's essentially wasting someone's time to make them sit there and decipher what you actually meant. It's laudable when they can actually figure it out, but it is actually sort of inconsiderate not to proofread because you're costing people time a few seconds at a time.
And the other thing is, you know, a lot of times that's true, but every now and then you get a case where it does confuse something, and sometimes those can go horribly, horribly wrong. For instance, in legislation for the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act in 1990, we had, you know, done nuclear testing in a few different states in the 50s and 60s, and we decided to give some of the area residents who had come down with all sorts of illnesses, including cancer, some compensation for that. And they misspelled in the legislation Mojave County, so the residents there never got compensation. It's only being picked up 20 years later that they're finally starting to. And, I mean, that's a huge thing for one letter, M-O-J-A-V-E instead of M-O-H-A-V-E. So when the typos end up mattering more, it can really hurt.
Benjamin D. Herson and Jeff Deck are my guests. They're co-authors of the new book, The Great Typo Hunt, Two Friends Changing the World, One Correction at a Time. We'll be back to that conversation in just a couple of minutes. Right now, we want to take just a couple of minutes to talk to you about supporting the station now in our membership campaign. I am joined by Jeff Whittington. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Chris. We'd love to hear from you at 1-888-694-6931 or online at kera.org. This conversation, it's a best of conversation from last fall, and we're thrilled to be able to re-air our interview with Jeff Deck and Benjamin D. Herson, who wrote this book, The Great Typo Hunt. And, of course, we're offering The Great Typo Hunt today as a thank you gift when you join the station at the $120 membership level. We'll send you your very own copy of this book. It's really entertaining sort of road trip journal about traveling around the country and fixing typos everywhere.
It's a great book for grammar nerds everywhere. And look, we know you're out there. And Jeff and I like to think that we are among your number. If you would give us a call now at 1-888-694-6931, you can receive The Great Typo Hunt as your thank you gift. Or you can also do this online at kera.org. Your participation financially in this station is what allows it to work. It's great to have thousands and thousands of listeners. We love it. But thousands and thousands of listeners need to together contribute thousands and thousands of dollars to pay the cost that it takes to make the station happen.
Yeah, that's right, Chris. And our goal this drive is just to raise $700,000. We have 400,000 or so listeners every week that tune in to KERA. And if you have not yet made your contribution and you're still listening, well, I'd ask you to ask yourself, what will motivate you to join the station? Because we do these membership campaigns a couple of times a year. We have to raise a certain amount of money to keep the station healthy and to be able to pay all the bills. Right now, we're getting very close to $400,000 raised in this campaign, which is a great psychological mark. When we get past that, we'll just have a few hundred thousand dollars left to raise, and we'll be done. $395,598 has been raised so far, though.
Your generosity really is extraordinary. We were never ungrateful for it, but the truth is we count on it. We are always happy to hear from you. Now, some of you may be able to do hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Some of you may be able to do dozens of dollars, depending on your budget. Your contribution amount is up to you. But it is important that we hear from you at 1-888-694-6931 or at kera.org. Big thanks to Karen Payne in Rockwall, Corbett and Carolyn Cruz in Fort Worth, Joanne Abramuk in Bedford, and Josh Rollins in Dallas. All of you who are on the phones now or online, we appreciate your support. Again, kera.org or 1-888-694-6931. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's informal courses for adults, dedicated to enriching lives for 55 years. How about enriching yours? You can learn more at smu.edu/CFP.
Listening to an archive edition of Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guests this hour are writers Jeff Deck and Benjamin D. Herson. Their new book is called The Great Typo Hunt, Two Friends Changing the World One Correction at a Time. Let's go on the phones now to Ada in Bedford. Hi, Ada.
Hello, thanks. I have something here. I'd like your guests to detour to Bedford and bring their equipment with them.
What is the sign?
It's something I pass at least twice a day. It's Bedford Boys Ranch, spelled B-O-Y apostrophe S.
So one boy has the whole ranch.
Right. When I first saw it, I thought, who is this marvelous boy who got to have this? And I plotted to come by some night and whitewash it and put it in it correctly.
Uh-oh, don't go vigilante.
I didn't know about your big endeavor here, and you guys are my heroes. So, Bedford Boys Ranch, some people have just given up, and in some of the latest printed material, there's no apostrophe.
Oh.
Leave stuff in limbo.
Oh, man.
Well, thanks for your call. Ada, what do you recommend?
Go ahead. Oh, I have one other thing, and that is Canadian geese. Everyone I hear who says this, I say, do they have passports?
Oh, in other words, it's Canada. It's Canada geese, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you suggest to someone who passes by a sign every day that makes them crazy? Because this is something I know that you can appreciate.
Well, I mean, what we really want to emphasize here is that it doesn't take much to join the Typo Eradication Advancement League, and people like Ada really do have the power to talk to the sign owners and. And just mention the error very, very politely, of course. And you never know what you can do to actually get something fixed if you just open up that line of conversation. I mean, sometimes it won't work. Maybe the majority of the time it won't work. But you never know until you try just talking to them. I mean, they might not have even thought about it or been aware of it, and they might be appreciative that you brought up a typo in their midst.
And you do mention it's important to ask permission. You guys got in some hot water out in Arizona.
Yes, we did. That has definitely become a hard and fast rule of ours now. I mentioned we solidified some rules. We generally would always try to ask permission, but sometimes we did not when we thought we could just make a quick fix. And that is now rule number 5, is always ask permission, just so you don't accidentally use whiteout on something that turns out to be a historic sign from 70 or 80 years ago.
Yeah, which we had no idea about. It was just a very innocuous-looking sign in this watchtower on the south rim of the canyon, and there were a couple of punctuation mistakes in the first paragraph, and we figured it wouldn't be a big deal if we just went ahead and fixed those, and only found out a lot later about those that historic value when the Park Service sent an agent to my apartment and summoned us to federal court. So
were you scared or did you think it was funny then?
I have to confess, neither of us found it very funny at the time.
No. I mean, obviously they had made a federal case out of a comma and an apostrophe. So on one level, it should be hilarious, but I wasn't able to really laugh at it at the moment.
And you guys were banned from all national parks for a year?
That's correct, yeah. And we were ordered to pay $3,000 in restitution as well. And as of this past June, anyway, we know someone who visited the canyon, and the sign apparently is still in the state that we left it. So I'm not sure what they did with that restitution money.
is your picture up underneath it with a red slash?
Only in the minds of the rangers who worked there, I think. But we're no longer banned from parks, fortunately. So
that is kind of like the ultimate geek punishment, and I don't want to call you a geek,
but
it is kind of a funny thing to say.
I wear that label proudly. I am part.
We like
it
around here too.
Oh yeah,
geek
excellent.
Pride, yo.
There we go. So yeah, that definitely felt like the worst part because I'd been planning on hiking the Appalachian Trail and had only just put it off to rejoin Jeff on this quest, but figured I'd get to it the next year, and so now I don't know when I'm going to get to it, but
2011, baby.
have an email here from Doug who says, I was shopping for some hamburger meat at a grocery store. There was a sign that was clearly typed and printed in the store. This sign was announcing a recent meat recall, and it concluded with, we apologize for the incontinence.
You know, we've heard this one so many times that I'm beginning to wonder if some of these examples are actually apocryphal. You know, it's
I don't know.
Maybe that's what the meat did.
I'm wondering if there's a specific mistyping that gets spell check to change it over to the wrong word.
I have to say, my iPhone has an autocorrect feature, and when I'm sending a text sometimes, if I don't notice that it's corrected a word for me, it'll go out wrong. And then I waste like two more texts recalling the last one.
Yeah.
This was all supposed to be fixed by technology, wasn't it? We were supposed to not have to worry about this stuff anymore.
I think everyone needs to go into their Word or whatever they use for word processing and just disable any autofix that can result in incontinence.
Who knew that was a risk? You know, you hear software bugs, but let's go next to Anita in Dallas. Hi, Anita.
Good afternoon. This was a correction that appeared in the New Yorker several years ago, and it said, due to an editorial mistake in transmission, a sentence that read, it was a real S and M thing, should have read, it was a real us and them thing.
Wow, that's a bad one.
That completely changes the context.
Yeah, it's especially bad when you're misquoting someone else.
Well, and you know, it's funny about something like that, because you would think that if someone, you know, used that sentence, you would have to clarify and say, pardon me, did I get that right?
Yeah, and that's a perfect example of one that somebody might not want to touch. They might not want to say, oh, it's a real S&M thing. I don't think I'm going to ask them about that.
Yeah, that's true. You guys found some people got really mad when you brought up the fact that their signs were wrong.
Yeah, there is this one guy in Albany that we came across when we were at this tulip festival, and he was running a booth that had artwork in it, and there was a sign that said that it had been created by an internationally renowned artist instead of renowned with an ED. And so when we brought it up to him, he said, oh, no, I checked this in the dictionary, and renown is a word. I know that this is right. And we said, well, we're not disputing that it's a word. It's just it's not quite the right word you want here. You want renowned with an ED. And then his next tactic was to say, oh, well, what college do you teach at? It was sort of a demand for our credentials. And it was, again, this idea that spelling and grammar should only be, an academic concern or something like that. So
the realm of the elite.
Exactly.
We have an email here from John who writes, I used to be a server at a steakhouse, and our brightly shining sign had restaurant misspelled. Mm. One day I was waiting on a group of teachers. They had noticed the error, and as if I were responsible, they pointed it out and left me no tip.
Oh,
you guys
that's off limits.
Yeah,
I work in retail. We get beat up enough for other people's decisions and mistakes, and that's not cool. Definitely, it would have been nice if they'd pointed it out and offered him the chance to pass that along and still tipped well.
There were other times when you guys pointed something out to like an employee and they said, I can't change it. Just go. Mm-hmm. Just go without saying anything else. It sort of speaks badly about how American workers are treated, but people thought they'd be punished for fixing something that was incorrect.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there was this one mall that we were in Mobile, Alabama, and there was a sign that it said, do not touch, very hot. And
no comma, nothing.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Dash.
And the worker was afraid that her boss was watching her through, like, the cameras in the ceiling. And there's just this consistent breakdown in communication between employees and employers. And sometimes the employee will get this idea of what their boss would want, even if that's not actually what the boss would actually want for the improvement of the business. And so sometimes you have to figure out whether it's like the employer that doesn't want to change things or whether it's the employee's idea of the employer.
On the other hand, it seems that in every workplace, whether or not it's a place that deals a lot with words, there's that one person that everybody goes to find out if something is spelled correctly or if it needs to be edited. There's always that one sort of brave soul.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely handy to have that person or somewhere in the office or in the workplace. But in case they aren't around, we always advise just consulting reference sources. I mean, I see you actually have seven or eight reference sources right here, dictionaries and things like that. And we certainly have to consult dictionaries ourselves on a regular basis. And, you know, for things like usage, and the Chicago Manual of Style is another, you know, good reference. And we're actually going to be giving one of those away tonight to someone who found a typo in our book.
Very nice. Yeah, I am. For me, I'm a pretty good speller, but occasionally I'll find out that I've been mispronouncing a word for years, or a guest will pronounce it differently, and I always have to correct it, you know, find out through the dictionary right away while I'm still talking to the person, and then it's always a struggle. Should I sort of politely pronounce it as the guest is pronouncing it, or should I go my own way? This is my own personal neurosis.
Oh,
we'll go back to the phones now. This time it's Glenn in Dallas. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thanks.
Yeah, I have one that intrigues me, not only because it's wrong, but it's more often wrong than right. And it's in grocery stores when the fast lane has a sign that says 12 items or less.
Oh, yeah.
When it should be 12 items or fewer, because it's not a mass noun.
I've never seen fewer ever in that case.
Yeah, so it's almost always wrong. What do you guys find about that?
Well, I think as time goes on, I have less and less quibbles with this. No, I mean, the thing is that I definitely understand the distinction, and it's a distinction that I can understand having been made in the first place. But I think we in cases like this, and in other cases where the alternative isn't really clouding anyone's actual comprehension of what you're trying to say, and is just as useful, then I think we might have to yield to the tide of language change and language shifting.
So you're okay with the idea that we're always evolving how we communicate with each other?
Yes, we are. The thing that we don't like, though, is when everybody tries to write off every single typo as language change. We found entertainment in Atlanta, where they just stuck a V into entertainment. And that's clearly not language change. That's a mistake. But we do recognize that there are some cases where language is changing, and distinctions that mattered to people before are being lost. So I think we're okay with that to a degree.
Benjamin D. Herson and Jeff Deck are my guests. They're co-authors of the new book, The Great Typo Hunt, Two Friends Changing the World One Correction at a Time. We'll hear more of that conversation in just a couple of minutes. Right now, it is that time when we come to you and say, if you are enjoying this program, if you enjoy it every day, if you enjoy this station 24 hours a day, give us a call now at 1-888-694-6931, or go online and make a contribution at kera.org. And Jeff, we have copies of The Great Typo Hunt available as a thank you gift.
We do. If you join the station today at the $120 membership level, we'll send you your very own copy of The Great Typo Hunt. It's a thank you gift. You know, obviously the book came out last fall, and we're thrilled when we originally had the authors in studio. We're thrilled to be able to re-air the show today during this membership campaign and re-offer this thank you gift, because a number of you responded to the show and really enjoyed it. And so I think I think it's a great topic, and it's kind of entertaining.
Yeah, it's fun to read. And, you know, I don't know if you already know these things, you're not going to learn any lessons, but it's really fun to read about their adventures and about the people who did not take kindly to corrections.
Yeah. And to commiserate with them, yes, because we all see them everywhere, and it drives me nuts too.
Yeah, if you're that person in your circle who always notices, then this is definitely the book for you. We'd love to hear from you right now, whether or not you want a copy of the book. We'd love to hear from you at kera.org or at 1-888-694-6931. It is really amazing how interested you are in the many things that we cover on this show. You know, there are some local talk shows in other markets that cover only, there's a show called Democracy Now! That's very well respected. It's amazing. There are shows that do only health issues. There are shows that do education. All of those are amazing, but we feel especially lucky to be able to have really a potpourri of topics. Every day, you're never quite sure what you're going to get, and it's always, we try very hard to make sure that the guests are very knowledgeable in their fields. In fact, we always make sure that they are credible guests. We try to make sure that they're very interesting, and your participation makes the show that much better. Your financial participation makes the show possible. That's why we ask to hear from you at kera.org.
These membership campaigns, you know, are the most cost-effective and efficient way for KERA to raise the funds necessary to operate, and it's the way public radio works. We rely on listener contributions to fund this radio station, here to the tune of 58 to 60% of operations and everything that goes into putting the programming on the air, whether it's locally produced programming like this show or nationally produced programming or internationally produced programming like the BBC that you hear overnight. All of that comes with a cost, and your contributions help offset those costs. When you call 888-694-6931 or when you contribute at KERA.org. We have heard from a few of you during this hour. We're at $396,300 or so raised. We'd love to get over that $400,000 mark here in the next few minutes so that we can get that much closer to the overall goal and wrapping this membership campaign up.
Let's hear from you now at KERA.org or 1-888-694-6931. Thank you so much, Juliet McCullough in Dallas. Thanks, Brian Collette in Dallas, Karen Stafford Brown and Paul Brown in Hearst. Thanks to you. We would love during Think Today to get over that $400,000 mark. It's kind of a psychological barrier, but I think it's certainly possible when you make your contribution now. You know, if you do your 50 or 100 or 200 bucks and then lots of other people follow suit, we really can get there. It's always, you know, these amounts seems so huge, but when you think that your share in it is only what you decide it ought to be, I think that's fair. 1-888-694-6931. We have a really exciting show for you planned next hour. There's this dark horse film that has been nominated for an Academy Award, Jeff.
Yeah, it's called The Illusionist, and we've got some of the folks that worked on the film, believe it or not, who have just relocated to the East Dallas area, and we'll be here in the studio to talk about their work on the film and to talk about the world of animation in general. It's going to be really exciting. If you do your part right now during the show, you, of course, you won't be drawn away from
you
the
can
conversation.
Focus.
Absolutely. Go to KERA.org, make a contribution, or call 888-694-6931. Think about what you get from your public radio station here. Think about what you get from KERA and make the call or make the online contribution. It really is important that we hear from you. And I know we say that, and you've heard my colleagues, and you've heard me say it, and you've heard Chris say it over the last week or two. And, you know, it's true, though. It really is. I mean, we do this because it's the way that money gets raised to run this public radio station. And we really are serious. We really do need to hear from you today.
1-888-694-6931 is the telephone number. You can always go online to KERA.org. We have amazingly heard from three friends today. The friends level membership is $1,500 or above. It's really affordable, Jeff, if you do it on the sustainable membership.
Yeah, you can spread your $1,500 annual contribution out to $125 a month. And if that's something that works in your budget, we'd love to hear from you at the friends level today.
I'm hearing that we heard from three friends earlier today, but we have not yet gained a friend during Think. So if you are ready to make this sort of contribution and you love this show, now is the time to do it. It's a vote for public radio and a vote for this show in particular. We'd love to hear from you at KERA.org or at 1-888-694-6931. Thanks.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's informal courses for adults, dedicated to enriching lives for 55 years. How about enriching yours? You can learn more at smu.edu/CFP.
You're listening to an archive edition of Think. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking this hour with Jeff Deck and Benjamin D. Herson about their new book, The Great Typo Hunt. We'll go back to the phones now because we have lots of people waiting to speak. We'll go to David in Fort Worth. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thanks.
Talking about odd signage, I have a couple of pictures at home here in Fort Worth of the odd signage. One was the Trinity River, as they were working on the trail going along there, sign said, "Will be completed February the 30th of 2004, 2005, whatever year." Anyway, February 30th. And the other sign I took several years ago down in the valley, it was a Texas Tropical sign, Texas Tropical Trail, with icicles hanging off of it.
Hmm.
So, you know, that's not... kind of odd.
Just sort of strange. You know, it is interesting. It seems like people who do notice these make a point of collecting them, either with photographs or they write them down somewhere or they just remember them.
Oh, yeah.
We're certainly collecting them.
Yeah, one of the things that we realized when we were doing our typo hunt was that almost everyone has a typo story. Like, there are a lot more people noticing these typos out there than you might think. And sometimes they'll carry it with them for years, or you know, come up with an in-joke about it or something. But the thing is that there are so many people out there noticing these typos, but there's not so many people actually willing to bring them up to someone. And so sometimes people will get the incorrect idea that, no one's never noticed this typo before.
And that's part of why we're going to start something as soon as our tour is done called 50 Typos in 50 States, where we're going to ask people to send us their fines and corrections. Again, always ask permission before getting the typo fixed, to typo@greattypohunt.com. Once the tour is done, we'll take down the tour map and put up the 50 Typos in 50 States map.
I would imagine there are a lot of people who will jump at the chance to be that representative of their state.
Yeah, we're gonna take the best find and correction from each state to be the one to represent that state.
We should say here that, you know, correcting signs one at a time is a good project that maybe makes us all feel a little less crazy. But you've written in the book about maybe changing education to prevent these before they happen. Can you talk about that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, we realize that there are really two larger parts to typo prevention. And one half is just the importance of proofreading, of taking a second look at your text before you put it out into the world. But yeah, the other half of that is very important. It's education and making sure that you're teaching kids spelling and grammar the right way early on, especially. And we definitely recommend that more phonics be added back into American, you know, educational curricula, because a lot of the spelling errors that we found along the way ended up following pretty specific patterns. That, like, for example, the double letter confusion, like writing dinning instead of dining with two N's in there, or shiping instead of shipping, like not putting the two P's in there. And these are instances of phonetic confusion, of spelling errors that people could avoid in the first place if they had a good grounding in phonics, which, among other things, really emphasizes the relationship of the way that a word sounds to the way that it's spelled. And you can just hear how dinning sounds different than dining. So it's avoiding those troubles where especially where word parts come together.
Let's go back to the phones now. This time we have Lauren in Dallas. Hi, Lauren.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I love the subject. It's stuff that I've seen in my life, too. But I have a very humorous story from college. The Albertsons grocery store where I used to shop had their school supplies in a aisle labeled stationery, spelled A-R-Y instead of E-R-Y.
So it's not going anywhere.
Right. Well, in case in point, that's exactly what happened. Years later, the store underwent a remodeling, and everything was moved around, which made it hard to shop, but that aisle was the only one that did not move.
So maybe they were telling the truth.
Yeah, just remember, in case you have trouble like I do remembering one, Jeff came up with he passed along a trick that stationery with an E for envelope is the paper.
Yeah.
And A is the one that stays in place, stationery, not moving.
Do you ever point things out to people and they say, that's not wrong?
Yeah, every once in a while we'll run into trouble. There was one educational store in Ohio.
This is a very painful story.
This is the most painful story.
We found a sign that said play indoors. Like indoors was two words instead of one, and year-around fun. And when we brought these up to the woman who was working at the counter, and bear in mind this was an educational toy store. She said, "Oh no, those are puns and those are fine." And then she insisted that they were actually right, and she went to the dictionary to back up her claim. And as I said, we support going to reference sources in cases of doubt. But she came to the conclusion that indoors was actually the right way to do it, because there was a little dot in between the in and the doors.
To separate the syllables.
Yeah.
That's what it was, actually, yes.
So she didn't actually know how to read the dictionary properly, and it was kind of painful, actually.
It was very awkward, of all the awkward moments, trying to explain that, no, that's That's the syllable break was probably the most awkward ever for me.
Yeah.
Is it ever awkward when you meet like a new person, like a cute girl or something, and then you have to say, this is what I'm passionate about?
Well, I mean, we both already have girlfriends, so we've got that out of the
All
way
right.
already.
Yeah. And we go for the nerd cute girls anyway, and they usually understand. Actually, in a Radio Shack in Mobile, there was a nice young woman who we mentioned that Sony Ericsson was spelled wrong. And she jumped at it so fast we didn't have a chance to take a picture of the incorrect version because she swiped away the wrong letters before we could snap the photo.
So that was hot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was hot.
Yeah. And there are grammar fangirls out there.
Let's go next to JB in Dallas. Hi, JB.
Hey.
Hi. Go right ahead, please.
Yes, I'm concerned about the educational system in the United States because of all the slow children that are here. Because every time you come into a neighborhood, it says, drive slow children again.
Good buildup. I like that.
Yeah, I thought that was going to go somewhere completely different.
Yeah, it is funny. Sometimes we get so used to seeing things that we almost don't notice them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to... in some cases, retrain your eye to look at the landscape around you in a different way. And after some time spent typo hunting, you'll find that you are viewing your environment in a slightly different fashion than you used to. And I mean, these days we're saturated with text. I mean, there's so many signs and billboards and everything surrounding us that it is one way of actually being awake to the world around you.
Let's go back to the phones. We have time for another call. This one from Richard in Dallas. Hey, Richard.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Great, thanks.
Well, my question was regarding what one should do when one finds these errors, say, for example, in a textbook or something like that. Who should you look for to, you know, to contact regarding that? Also, just as a quick side note, the Whole Foods on Lemon has 15 items or fewer.
All right, another elite grocery store. Good to know. Thanks, Richard.
In this specific case, you'd want to contact the publisher so that they could get it fixed for the next edition, and they'd probably appreciate it. I mean, especially someone who's created something like a textbook will want it to be as accurate as possible, especially, you know, moving on to future editions.
Yeah, I know other authors do consider that to be sort of a pet peeve, but we also appreciate it if we're going to have another print run that we have a chance to get that fixed. And that's, again, we put out the challenge when the book first came out that we wanted to know about any typos. We went through it over and over again. Our girlfriends read it. Our moms read it. That's even before the editor and the copy editor from our publishing house. But we wanted to know if anything had gotten past Jeff and myself. And
there is one?
There is one. And
yeah.
Someone found it, and she is from Dallas. And that is why tonight we are giving her the 16th edition, the new Baby Blue.
Brand new Baby Blue.
Chicago Manual of Style, $65 value, because she helped us out by finding that typo in our book.
By the way, were you guys sad to hear the OED is no longer publishing in hard copy?
Well, I mean, I find myself most often turning to something like dictionary.com mm-hmm. for a reference source. So it can be very handy to just be able to go to the internet. You just have to hope that whenever you're writing, you have an actual internet connection. So I hope that that hard copies will still be available.
Yeah, they might have a downloadable version, I think. You can have it on your computer.
Oh, that's true.
So
yeah, that's, yeah.
And that is excellent.
The new book by Jeff Deck and Benjamin D. Herson is called The Great Typo Hunt, Two Friends Changing the World, One Correction at a Time. Guys, it's been great to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
If you would like to receive a copy of The Great Typo Hunt, you can get that when you become a member at the $120 level or above this afternoon. Just go online to kera.org or call us at 1-888-694-6931. Of course, you don't have to make a $120 contribution. You can make a $240 or a $1,500 or a $20, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it's up to you. That's what's so great about public radio and about KERA is that you get to decide. You've already decided to listen to the station and spend what I consider a pretty valuable resource you have, your time with this radio station. And many of you say this is your connection to the outside world. Many of you say this is what I listen to. You know, we hear from many of you who don't really like the other kinds of media, or maybe you don't subscribe to a newspaper or don't watch television news or information. You like to get your news and information from public radio, from KERA. Well, this is the place to do it. And, you know, we're thrilled that you're here. We're thrilled that you're a listener. We're thrilled that you get something out of the broadcasting here. But there is a cost associated with everything you get from KERA. And we're just asking you to decide what that dollar value, your usage, is worth to you. Put a price on it. Make a call to 888-694-6931 or go to KERA.org and make your contribution because it matters, because it's important to you.
You know, the other thing we know is that a lot of you listen to the station when you're in your car. You know, this is a big region, and a lot of us are zipping back and forth for, you know, tens and hundreds of miles even in a week. KERA is one of those stations that you don't have to keep flipping to and from. You know, you can turn it on to KERA and stay. You know, maybe you're driving for an hour this afternoon, or maybe with the ice you're driving for 2 hours this afternoon. You don't have to keep switching to see something you like better, because you pretty much know if you love this station and you're on KERA and you're listening to Think, you pretty much know you're going to be satisfied for the amount of time the program is on. That's worth something. You know, it's one less thing you have to struggle with and stress about when you're in the car. You just turn it on to KERA and you're there. Think how distressing your drives might be if you didn't have this station. And then think about how much you want to contribute at 1-888-694-6931 or online at KERA.org.
I want to thank Scott Tucker in Dallas, Catherine Moore in Fort Worth, and Suzanne Sprague Trammell in Dallas. Hey, Suzanne, thanks so much for your contributions. Folks, we've raised $396,752. And we have a little ways to go. Our goal is $700,000, but we're almost to $400,000. So make your call right now. If you can give maybe one of the higher levels, this would be a great time to hear from you if you've been considering a Friends membership at the $1,500 annual level. Or maybe it's time for you to renew your Friends membership. If it's time for you to renew your membership, you can do that at any level. If it's time for you to renew, by calling 888-694-6931 or online at KERA.org. Because when you renew your membership during the membership campaign, it helps raise or lower the amount that's necessary still to raise to finish the drive. So please call 888-694-6931 or contribute online at KERA.org.
1-888-694-6931 is the telephone number. You can also go to KERA.org. We have received a Friends member this hour.
Hey, wonderful.
So thank you so much. We really appreciate your contribution. We appreciate your contribution when you make a Friends level donation. We also appreciate your contribution if you say, you know, I could do $5 a month. Because we know, and that friend knows, that everybody's at a different place in their financial lives, in their, you know, life lives, in their careers. Your contribution amount is up to you. But we do ask that everyone who listens to the station on a regular basis make some sort of donation to KERA.
It is KERA. It's 90.1 KERA Dallas-Fort Worth Denton, 100.1 K261 CW in Tyler, 88.3 K202 DR in Wichita Falls, and 99.3 K257 EV in Sherman.
We have bumped up thanks to that friend and others as well. We are now at $398,287. I definitely think we will be able to get over the $400,000 mark momentarily. If you make your contribution now, that will be very exciting, a nice little boost, maybe an inspiration for others to make a contribution finally as well. 888-694-6931 is the telephone number. Or always, you can go online and make a contribution at KERA.org.
It's been a successful drive. We've heard from so many of you, and thanks so much to each of you. If you've done your part, if you have contributed to the station during this membership campaign, you're the reason the station is able to continue, you know, to exist here in North Texas. It's only through your contributions that KERA can continue to provide you with the news and information that you want to hear on the radio dial. And so, thank you so much. And we're doing well. This is kind of right on track with where we need to be right now. 3,662 contributors is how many we've heard from. So thanks to all 3,662 of you. You know who you are. Again, you know, it's worth remembering, though, that the station has about 400,000 listeners a week, and you're a listener. You're listening right now. But we're still waiting to hear from you at 888-694-6931. We're still waiting for you to go online to KERA.org and make your contribution. What are you waiting for? You've already found the absolute best radio that there is. It's public radio, and it's your station right here in North Texas on KERA. So please don't wait any longer. Please go to KERA.org or call 888-694-6931.
You know, Jeff, I'm the person in our household who handles the income tax returns every year. And there's nothing more exciting than when suddenly we remember, oh, wait, we made a contribution here. And then you write it in. And, you know, if you use one of those online programs, you can see your refund being adjusted accordingly. And, you know, think about that. It won't help you for 2010's taxes that you may be dealing with right now. But, you know, a year from now, you won't even remember that you spent that money, but you'll be happy to report it to the IRS and let them know. And you will have received another great year of public radio.
I want to thank Diane and Alan Duvall in Dallas, Glenn Potter in Fort Worth. They've helped pay for another year of great radio here in North Texas. How about you? Call 888-694-6931 or go to KERA.org and make your contribution. Do it right now.
It's such a fast transaction to make. You can also choose a green membership, which means that we communicate with you via email so you don't have a bunch of stuff coming into the house that you just have to recycle anyway. We really appreciate when you make that choice, and we know you appreciate it too. We'd love to hear from you now at KERA.org or on the phone at 1-888-694-6931. Thanks.
The Think production team includes associate producer Betsy Lewis and engineer Nilofer Arsala. Our senior producer is Jeff Whittington. Learn more about today's show, find out about upcoming programs, and download our free daily podcasts at kera.org/think. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@kera.org.